Good evening, it's great to see you all. It's great to see you both tour across there in Oak Room. Especially if you're a visitor, I want to echo Dave's welcome to you tonight. It's good to have you with us. 36 years ago, before we were married, my wife gave me this rather beautiful Parker pen for Christmas. On it's inscribed the words, "Andrew, all my love, Catherine." Personalised present. I wonder if you've ever had one of those. It's amazing what you can get if you look around to see what's personalised. You get a personalised cushion with your very own photograph on it, so you can sit on yourself. You can get a personalised mug, so you can drink yourself. Personalised t-shirt, personalised calendar, personalised phone case, or a pen. Personalised golf balls to lose. Personalised teddy. But here's my two favourite. You can actually get yourself a personalised blue heritage plaque to put on your own front wall. I thought about having one made and putting it on a house in a little village called Dolphin Home where I was born, and saying Andrew Gardner was born here in 1956 and caused the Suez Crisis. But here's my favourite one of all. For $14.99, you can have your very own star in the sky named after you and a piece of printed paper to prove it. But for $16.99, you can have a binary star in the sky. That sounds like two for the price of one, which it is, named after you and a certificate written to prove it. Personalised presents. One of the beautiful things about the stories of the birth of Christ is that while some of the stories are kind of big picture stories, some of them, and the many that we've read tonight, are highly personalised. God steps into Elizabeth's life. God steps into Mary's life. And for a few moments, I want us to think about God stepping into Joseph's life. We've had the story of Joseph, and when you begin the story, it's not the greatest story in the world. It begins with personal disappointment. Personal disappointment. He hears this story from Mary, and I don't know what it was like for him, but have you ever seen that comedy program, One Foot in the Grave, with Victor Meldrew? And you all know what he says. I don't believe it. But I don't think when Joseph heard Mary telling him the story of the fact that she was pregnant, it was a comedy. I think he would be angry. When he said, "I don't believe it," he was battling hard inside. He found it too difficult to accept. And I guess he was devastated. Disappointed in his betrothed, in Mary. Any fiancé, even today, finding his fiancé pregnant without his involvement, would be devastated. I wonder. It may not be that, but now he's dealing with the thoughts of what am I going to do? It looks like divorce, because in those days, betrothed would need a divorce certificate for it to happen. Maybe you've been let down by people. Maybe not in that way. But just think back. When have people devastated you? Left you in a place where your heart is banging in your mouth. Left you in a place where you're going through sleepless nights. Because you've been hurt. Because you've been broken. Because the life that you'd plotted out and thought was going so swimmingly, and you were moving very nicely towards that. For Joseph, it was towards a marriage. Suddenly destroyed because of what seemed like one person's actions. And you're living with rejection. You're living with tears. You're living with years of heartbreak and sorrow. Personal devastation. But I wonder, because Joseph hears this story from Mary, and Mary's looking at Joseph and says, "You've got to believe me. because it was God. God did it. Well, that's a fine story, isn't it? God did it. I don't know if you've ever been on a Virgin train and you've needed to go to the restroom, let's call them, because we're, you know, just for sake of any Americans around here. And when you get in the restroom, there's a little sign above the toilet itself. It says, please do not flush. Paper towels, old phones, unpaid bills, your ex's sweater, your hopes, your dreams, or your goldfish down this toilet. But I wonder for Joseph whether there was a sense of Mary blaming it all on God, that suddenly all his hopes and all his dreams, he was now putting at God's doorstep and saying, God, it's all gone wrong. This woman has done me wrong, but she's blaming you and saying it was you. And life was plotted out and it's all turned out so different. God, where are you now? Maybe you've been devastated by people, but maybe also you've experienced huge disappointment in God. He didn't turn life out quite the way you thought it should be, and you wondered why he seemed a billion miles away. Does God act that way? Why would he act that way? Making a young girl pregnant? Is that the sort of thing God does? All your hopes and dreams gone. And you wonder where he is. So Joseph began this story with personal disappointment. But then he has an encounter. And like I said, with Mary and Elizabeth, there's these beautiful personal encounter stories in the good news stories that Luke and Matthew bring to us in the Bible. God steps in. Joseph has a dream. And in the dream, it's revealed to him that Mary is telling the truth. It's revealed to him who this baby in Mary's womb is. What Joseph should call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And when he comes, he will be Emmanuel. He will be God with us. Joseph wakes up to find that somehow God has broken into his life beyond his disappointments, beyond the failure of what's happened around him, and is now saving him. Saving him from himself and what he was about to do. Was it just a dream? We all have dreams. Usually our subconscious is trying to make sense of what happened yesterday. But Joseph woke up knowing this was a God kind of dream. It was different. It was a dream on which he had to take action. And he had a choice. He had a choice. You know, even tonight, we all have choices. I have a choice. Joseph knew when he woke up what was true, and he chose to walk towards it. But time and time again, when it comes to God wanting to break into our lives, break through some of the devastation, break through the disappointment, we actually turn around and walk the other way. But we can run from the truth. We can ignore it. We can refuse it. But like Joseph found out, it's still true. It's still true. And for Joseph, accepting a virgin birth, accepting Mary's son as God, your Savior, would have been just as difficult for him as it might be for us today. But God longs to break in. Just like he did with Joseph's life, God longs to break into your life. The question is, will you let all that stuff, all that clutter that's there, all that disappointment in people or in God, will you let those things stop God from breaking through? God longs for it to be a different story. He longs for you to know something different. He longs for you to accept him, just like Joseph did, in a big new way. I wonder if you could do something for me. After three, I want you to all shout your own name out as loud as possible. Okay, will you do that? Okay, just you need to look in the back of your shirt or your blouse or your jumper just to see what your name is, all right, if you're not quite sure, all right. And I know I'm called St. Michael, so, okay, it starts there. Oh, actually, no, this one's George, so I'm George tonight. Right, after three. One, two, three. Andrew! Right, I wasn't anywhere near loud enough. Come on, grown-ups, you can do better. After three. One, two, three. Andrew! Great. We've talked about Joseph's personal disappointments. We've talked about Joseph's personal choice. You know, the prophet Isaiah says this about a God who loves you so much that he wants to break through into your life, that he has a personalized present. And what he does is, he takes your name, June, or Steve, or Trevor, or Abby, or Joanne and Joanna. He takes your name, Sam. Whatever your name is that you've just shouted out now, if you accept this beautiful Christmas story of Christ coming to save you from all that mess of disappointment, he takes your name. And he doesn't write it on a pen. He takes your name and he engraves it on his hands. Because he loves you. And because he refuses to forget you. This is the Christmas story. God says, I love you. We've talked about a personalized present. You know, present means two things. It means the gifts you're going to give on Christmas Day. But it also means right here, right now. God wants to make this moment, if you've never stepped towards him. And if you're like Joseph tonight, you're thinking, is this true? Is this real? Is it right? If you've never stepped towards him, he wants to break into your present now. And make this moment personal for you. So you say, yes, I receive your son Jesus as my saviour. From all the mess, all the brokenness, all the wrong. What the Bible calls sin. From all that, I receive him as my saviour. And I ask you to be my Emmanuel. God with me present. God with me now. Let's pray together. Just in a moment of quietness, ask yourself, are you in that place where you've kind of almost always pushed God away, whatever you've struggled with, the truth of this story, or maybe just the facts of your own life that have kept you from turning to him. Some of the disappointments, some of the pain, some of the questions. Just right here, right now, in this present, will you dare just to pray a very simple prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I receive Jesus as the one not just whose name means Saviour, but the one who will save me from myself, from sin. And I ask you to be Emmanuel. I ask you to be God with me right here. Right now, will you pray that prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you pray that prayer, he He's already engraving your name on the palm of his hands. He loves you so much. God bless you. Amen.